What is Jesus saying about divorce in today's gospel? Is he condemning it? Are there any exceptions to it? And what does divorce mean in the church especially? Well, he actually answers with questions, trying to get us to think more deeply about this issue. And the first question he asks the Pharisees is, what did Moses tell you? He points back to the Mosaic Law. In the Mosaic Law, it was allowable for a husband to divorce his wife, but not the other way around. And originally, it was only in the case of adultery. Unfortunately, over time, the Jewish people widened that law to include pretty much any reason. And really, we hear the version of this gospel in Mark today. In the same gospel in Matthew, there's a little line added where the Pharisees ask Jesus, is it okay for a man to divorce his wife for any reason whatsoever? Because they know the law has been tweaked over the years. And Jesus doesn't answer them directly, does he? He doesn't say yes or no. But he does point them back to Genesis. And he says that Moses allowed this, allowed meaning this wasn't the goal, but he allowed it because of your stubbornness. Now, who wants to be stubborn? Now, there are certain things in marriage that it's good to be stubborn about. If your husband wants to go jump out of an airplane and you put your foot down and say, no, I'm not allowing you to do that, that's a good stubbornness because your husband's being stupid and he shouldn't jump out of a perfectly good airplane. But if we're being stubborn because, you know what, I want to go to Mass Saturday night because there's my favorite football team Sunday and I want to be ready for the game. I got a lot to do. I got to get my spot on the couch. I got to warm up my hot pockets and get my popcorn and my beer ready. And that's going to take all morning. So we're going to go to Mass Saturday night. Well, honey, I really don't want to go to Mass Saturday night because Father, he's preaching for the first time and he's horrible on Saturday night. He's much better on Sunday morning. Well, that's not worth being stubborn about. I was curious what stubbornness mean because we all have our own idea, don't we, of what stubbornness is? And I looked it up and it said to be unyielding. To be unyielding. And when you think of yielding, you think, of course, of driving, right? When you're in the parking lot and you're in a rush and yet there's somebody in front of you. Or I don't know who laid out the parking lot at Lowe's, but it's horrible. And you pull in and there's always somebody walking in front of you. Always. They should have built a little bridge or a tunnel or something. But because we're kind, because we want not our own will, but we want to die to ourselves as Jesus commanded us. We yield to others. This is what Jesus is asking us to do in marriage. I saw a great post on Facebook a couple weeks ago. It said this, a perfect marriage is just two imperfect people who refuse to give up on each other. In other words, they're still being stubborn, but in a much different way. Two imperfect people who refuse to give up on each other. In other words, they transfer their unyieldingness to give in to each other to an unyieldingness to give in to the difficulties of marriage. This past Thursday, I went down to the Orpheum. I got to see one of my favorite all-time bands, Third Day. Been listening to them since 1999. And little did I know, when I walked in, the lady scanned my ticket. And she says, oh, you have a special ticket. I was like, is it the golden ticket? Do I get to tour the chocolate factory? I mean, it said nothing on it about being special. When I bought it, I just hit, you know, best available. And I was pretty tickled that it put me in the third row. But I didn't know it was a special ticket. She said, you get to meet the band afterwards, you know. And after 16 years of listening to this band, I was like, sweet. You know, I've almost kind of outgrown the little, you know, excitedness about it. It would have been great about 10 years ago, but, you know, yeah, I'll take it, right? But I went, what I was most surprised by was not my favorite band. The opening act was awesome. It was this guy named Warren Barfield. And he had written a song that was put in the movie Fireproof, but he was very clear about how he didn't write it because of Fireproof. He wrote it for his wife. And he gave a beautiful testimony about this song. He said the song actually came about because he was hanging out with friends in their family room, and they were eating pretzels and having a good time and whatnot. And he dropped a pretzel on the floor. And he explained his wife is a little OCD. Like, she likes her lines in the carpet, right? And so to get a pretzel on the floor was a pretty big deal. And she turned to him and gave him the evil eye. And being the astute and very smart male that he is, he decided his response would be to pick up a handful of pretzels and purposely drop it on the floor just to upset her. Only things that males would do. And that sparked a big old fight between them. And they got through fighting, and something he said really caught my ear. He said to his wife at the end of their fight that he promised that he was going to quit fighting her and start fighting for her. Stop fighting against her and start fighting for her. And what if he put the same energy that he put into fighting her into fighting for his marriage? I was listening to some other talks that this guy gave afterwards, and he gave another great example. He said that in every battle, there is victory, right? In every battle, there's victory. For someone, at some time, in some way, there's victory. And that perhaps those of you who think that you're going through the greatest battles, perhaps even in your marriage, remember that those also come with the greatest victories. Secondly, in our gospel today, Jesus specifically addresses not only the issue of divorce, but divorce and remarriage. Because that's really the problem. And that's still the problem in the church today. Could it be possible that you might need to get divorced? Yes. Now keep in mind when I say that, in the time of Jesus, both the legal and the church system were the same legal system. There weren't two separate legal systems like there are today. If you get married in the church today, you have to go down to the Sedgwick County Courthouse and you have to get a marriage license for $75, which is criminal, but you still got to do it. And then you got to bring that license here, and we do the marriage ceremony in the church, and I sign it. It's a cooperation between the church and the state. Some of our rules are the same. You can't be currently married to another person and get married in the church. Some of our rules are different. You can't be validly previously married to a person and get married in the church, but in the legal system you can, if you've been divorced. That being said, there are cases even today where divorce might be necessary for the protection of the individual. If there is abuse and a need to separate oneself from that person, or needing to separate oneself from that person legally to protect themselves, we do have a right to what is just and what is what will protect us. But that being said, Jesus obviously focuses in our gospel today on the need to avoid divorce at all costs. And he specifically uses the example of a person who divorces and marries again. Now, at first glance, you might hear this and think that it doesn't make sense. And to someone who hasn't grown up in the church or isn't familiar with the church's way of thinking, it doesn't make sense. If you divorce person A, and then you marry person B, how is that adultery, which is cheating on your spouse? You divorced the first person. You're now with person B. Why is that cheating on your spouse? Because God recognizes the marriage to the first person. And what our gospel says today is that makes them one flesh. And what God has joined, men must not separate. Doesn't mean we can't, but we shouldn't. And brothers and sisters in the church, that is exactly what the annulment seeks to do, is to determine, was that marriage to that first person valid in the eyes of God? Not in the eyes of men, but in the eyes of God. If it wasn't, then they are free to marry the second person, and they are not committing adultery. But if their marriage was indeed valid to the first person, then we can't dissolve that. It's impossible. That's what Jesus says in the gospel today. And an annulment simply seeks to investigate the circumstances of that marriage. Now, I want to dispel, since I'm talking about that, a couple myths about annulments. They do not cost a fortune. They don't have to cost you anything. I'll pay for it. Don't let that be a hindrance to getting back into the life of the church and having your marriage blessed by God and in union with Him. Also, people say that annulments take forever. You may have even heard in the news how Pope Francis issued some new directives surrounding annulments to try to speed up the process. Well, down in Argentina, where he is from, the average length of an annulment is 4 years. The church specifies that an annulment should take no more than 18 months. What is the average here in Wichita? About 18 months. So a lot of those things that Pope Francis issued aren't going to affect us here in Wichita because we're doing it right. We've got a great system and great canon lawyers who take care of you. And I will take care of you. So if you're in need of an annulment, please come and see me. If you are divorced and remarried outside the church, please come and see me. God has blessings for you, not judgments, but blessings to give you. Lastly, notice these first two examples that I've shared are both what is wrong with divorce. Number one, because of our stubbornness. Number two, divorce and remarriage. But notice how Jesus tries to steer the conversation. Instead of asking what is wrong with divorce, he tries to steer the people to think back to what is right about marriage. You see, so many times, brothers and sisters, our natural way of thinking as fallen human beings is we try to go to the least common denominator. We try to go to the basic rules. What can I get away with? Think if you're driving down the Autobahn in Germany in a really fancy Italian car and you're going 200 miles an hour. Do you want to hit the side rails? Or do you want to hug the center line as much as possible? That's the difference here. If we live life simply by going by what we can get away with or what are the rules, then it's going to be a horrible trip. It's not going to be fun at all. But if rather we follow Jesus' example in the gospel today and we start asking the question, what is the right thing to do? Not how can I stay away from the wrong, but how can I get to what is right, particularly about marriage? Then that's when we experience something exhilarating. And that's why Jesus points them, the Pharisees and his disciples, back to Genesis. Let's go back to how God originally created the relationship of man and woman to be, and let's live that. That's what can be found in the church's current teaching on marriage, in the theology of the body, in our different marriage ministries in the church. And so many of you think you know what the church teaches about marriage, that we shouldn't cohabitate, that we shouldn't fornicate, that we shouldn't contracept. And all those things are true, but they're all the shouldn'ts. What about the shoulds? Every month here at Christ the King, we offer a marriage ministry for 2 hours. 2 hours of formation a month. And yet how many of us are forming ourselves in other ways? Because brothers and sisters, every time we spend an hour of TV watching The Simpsons or Modern Family, we are being malformed when it comes to marriage. We're subjecting ourselves to twisted ideas of marriage. And it may be funny. It may be hysterical. But it is an abomination to God. Because it twists His beautiful, most beautiful creation. That is you, men and women, made in the image and likeness of God. Every time we listen to music that isn't holy, that doesn't lift us up to God, we are subjecting ourselves to a message about relationships that does not glorify God. And that doesn't mean you have to totally listen to Christian music, but ask yourself the question when you listen to a song, does this glorify God? Does this support His design for creation? Bottom line, divorce is evil. And that's not said out of condemnation to anybody who has been divorced. It is said out of fact. It destroys the lives of spouses and especially children. And I see that most powerfully in our school. The children of divorced parents consistently have difficulty compared to those who don't. That being said, divorce isn't always under your control. And whether a divorce is morally wrong, that it's whether I can stand before God with a clean conscience, that's between you and Him. Instead of asking the question, though, whether divorce is wrong, Jesus wants to steer us back to what is right. And that is a holy and healthy marriage. Perhaps in our day and time when marriage is so much under attack, we need to spend less time subjecting ourselves to malformation surrounding marriage and subject ourselves to more formation so that we too can live in the image and likeness of God.